Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my colleague, Thomas Joslin. Tom Joslin, with his colleague, Bill Raggio, and their colleagues, keep the Long War Journal, these decades of the 21st century, especially watching Afghanistan, although the battlefield is vast, from the Hindu Kush to the Mediterranean to the Atlantic. Right now, we're concentrating on two articles that Tom has penned, as you can find at the Long War Journal, about the Taliban preparing for or already assuming control of Afghanistan, pending the withdrawal of the U.S. forces and our allies. Tom, a very good evening to you. The Taliban deputy leader, you report, Sirajuddin Haqqani, is talking about judges in the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. This is chilling. What is he talking about? Why is he presenting this now? Good evening to you, Tom.
Well, good evening, John. Of course, we're now just past the 10th anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden in Abbottabad, Pakistan. And as we've talked about on your show quite a few times, the cache of intelligence that the U.S. intelligence community got out of that raid was enormous. It was of enormous value. It really was a, as the cliche goes, a treasure trove of intelligence. Well, amongst the files that were discovered in there were these files detailing al-Qaeda's close-knit relationship with the Haqqani network, the Haqqanis, including Sirajuddin or Siraj Haqqani, who is now the number two of the Taliban. The files make it clear that Siraj Haqqani has been an al-Qaeda man all along. Why is this important? Well, Siraj is really sort of the shogun or the warlord of the Taliban. He's the one who flexes the military muscle for the group. So whereas the man who's technically his boss, Habibullah Akhundzada, is the spiritual emir of the faithful for the Taliban and all of its followers, including al-Qaeda, this is the guy who actually does the war fighting or oversees the war fighting. That's Siraj Haqqani. And he released a speech just recently that was helpfully dubbed in English that basically outlined his vision for Afghanistan. And in fact, he's actually released a series of speeches. The latest one was about the importance of the Taliban's Islamic court system. And of course, this is a court system based on Sharia or Islamic law, and in particular, the Taliban and al-Qaeda's very harsh, draconian version of Sharia or Islamic law, which they intend to impose upon the Afghan population. And so the speech is very clear about what he's talking about. He's talking about moving judges, the Taliban judges, from the sort of hinterlands, the rural areas of Afghanistan, which Bill Roggio, my colleague, has just very carefully documented their growth and the power that they already exercise in those areas. He's talking about moving them from those areas into the urban areas where they're now going to have to enforce their version of Sharia on the cities of Afghanistan. And of course, to this day, you know, one of the big things here is that while there's a lot to critique about the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan, one of the benefits has been that these provincial capitals, as far as Afghanistan goes, urbanized areas, have remained out of the jihadist grip for all these years. Well, that's probably going to change in the coming months, of course, and Siraj is basically telegraphing that they intend to impose Sharia or Islamic law in those cities.
Imposing Sharia law, is that a euphemism for a murder? Is that what we're looking at? Because there were images I recall vividly now, decades later, of the execution of women in the soccer stadium in Kabul because of this or that statement by this or that person. Does that represent what's about to happen to Afghanistan?
John, that's so well said. That's exactly what he's talking about. You know, I mean, Afghanistan, the Afghan government technically operates on a version of Islamic law now. And it's in sort of unevenly applied across the board throughout Afghanistan. But what Siraj Haqqani is talking about is the strict enforcement, strict ruling of the al-Qaeda style Sharia, the ISIS style Sharia. It's the same type of stuff. It's just they have differences in how they apply it over time. But basically, that's been the goal all along, has been to calculate, they've calculated all along that they were going to conquer sort of the political system of Afghanistan and other areas and enforce their Sharia, and that's coming to Afghanistan. You're going to see, you already see reports of Afghan women being flogged to death or stoned to death in different areas, other people killed as well. You know, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda maintain lists of those who have opposed them within Afghan society, not just journalists, but women's rights activists, others. They're all going to be hunted now. They are the hunted. So basically, this is, you know, going to be a very grim situation for the Afghan people. You know, look, inside the United States, there's a lot of anti-war sentiment. I get it. You know, if you told me on 9/11 that nearly 20 years later, the U.S. would still have forces in Afghanistan, I wouldn't have believed you. And, you know, obviously the U.S. is going to exit here very quickly. But the bottom line is it's leaving behind really a terrorist cesspool, and Al-Qaeda is going to be making gains in the coming months.
In a presentation at the Hoover Institution, H.R. McMaster, former National Security Advisor and a veteran of the U.S. Army, he served his time in Afghanistan, remarked this fact that Kabul, when the U.S. launched its operations in 2001, was a city of about 500,000. It's now a city, said Mr. McMaster, of 3.5 million. He mentioned this because he's anticipating a catastrophe once the U.S. has left. Is that a fair measure, Tom, that what we're going to be looking at is either an exodus or mass darkness?
Yeah, I think the situation is pretty grim. I mean, you know, one of the other, you know, so with that statistic, former General McMaster, retired General McMaster, is pointing to the changing demographics in the population of Kabul. One of the other demographic facts here is that the area bordering Afghanistan and Pakistan, where the Pashtun are so numerous, has one of the fastest growing young male populations in the world. And that's part of the reason why this insurgency has been able to become so potent, is that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and affiliated groups have been able to draw from young men who have a zeal for fighting or can be taught to have a zeal for fighting. Now, you would say, okay, well, that keeps the insurgency going indefinitely, and that's another reason to get out, because you're never going to be able to drain this sort of pool of recruits. That's true, but from the other side of the perspective, what happens if the Taliban and Al-Qaeda take over much of Afghanistan or even potentially all of it? Now you have all these young men who are going to be formally indoctrinated once and for all within the new Islamic Emirate, and become foot soldiers for them to go about their business, not just in Afghanistan, but elsewhere. So this is a very grim situation, I would think, and there's ramifications for this that a lot of people are not considering.
You've also reported on Pakistani Taliban suicide attack in Quetta, Pakistan. What is the significance of this? Does this suggest that Pakistan will be destabilized once the U.S. leaves as well?
Look, John, if you've been listening to us on your show for years, John, you know our message is Al-Qaeda is rising, not falling. And the Pakistani Taliban is an example of that. The Pakistani Taliban is an Al-Qaeda group. It's in the Al-Qaeda fold. It went through a number of different problems and splintered and then was reconstituted under Al-Qaeda's watchful eye. And you can see the uptick in its operations already in Pakistan. And they already have thousands of fighters in the Pakistani Taliban in both Afghanistan and Pakistan. They're going to have at it now in the coming months. They've been fighting for the Afghan Taliban in Afghanistan. They've been going after certain Pakistani security forces and others inside Pakistan. And the curious thing in all this, John, is that if you were to talk to anybody at the Defense Department or in the U.S. intelligence community that tracks Al-Qaeda and the Pakistani Taliban, they would concede right away that the Pakistani Taliban is part of in the Al-Qaeda fold and part of Al-Qaeda's web. However, when you look at the assessments of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan, very rarely are the total number of fighters within the Pakistani Taliban's ranks included within the Al-Qaeda's count. And all I say is when you do that, you realize right away that Al-Qaeda has several thousand more fighters at least than the official estimates have given you. So this is another one of those things to keep an eye on. This is a group, John, you and I are both in the New York area, and the Pakistani Taliban, of course, failed in May 2010 to launch a bombing in Times Square. They've always had an anti-American animus, and I don't think that's going to go away in the coming years.
And observing right now where we are, Tom, your understanding of the U.S. withdrawal, by September 11th, the military will be gone, but there will be contractors to the Kabul government. Is that correct, Tom? We have less than a minute.
That's all very murky, John. I mean, you know, there's going to be some sort of intelligence network in place, although that won't be as robust as it was with the military presence there to protect it. They're going to have intelligence problems, of course. There will be some contractors left behind to service equipment and that sort of thing, but that's all really up in the air now. And it's hard to fathom how they're going to operate once the jihadis are ascendant.
Tom Joslin is a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleague Bill Rajo and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal, the story of this vast landscape that is about to become extremely grim with the U.S. and allies' exit from the region. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.